Welcome to the Plan the Magic podcast, where we help you have the most magical trip to the happiest place on earth. I'm your host, Samantha DeCastro-Corcoran, and on this podcast, we talk planning tips, hotel and food reviews, and about our love for the Disneyland Resort. Let's jump in. I am not affiliated with Disney, the Walt Disney Company, or Disneyland in any way. These podcasts are meant to be educational and support you on your planning journey, and are as accurate as possible on date of publication. But things do change, so always double check, and we are not responsible for any discrepancies. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Plan the Magic podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and today we're going to go a little personal, and we're going to talk about my ideal trip to Disneyland. So, as mentioned in like one of my first episodes, can't remember which one, I have been to the Disneyland Resort in California 4 times now. The first time when I was 17, and then that was in 2008, and then I was there in 2013, and then I went with my husband for his first time in 2023, and then we went again this year, March 2024, and the goal is to make that like March-ish every year, potentially more times per year. Ultimate goal in life is to be a magic key holder and go multiple times a year, but I digress. So today we're going to talk about what I, as a Disney adult, find is my ideal day or my ideal trip. So this is coming from the perspective of somebody who is in her early 30s, married. So it's just the two of us that typically go. We don't have any small children at this time. I haven't gone with anybody else where I'm not in control of the trip. So there's that. I do like being in control of this. Of most trips, I like to plan and organize things, so I do like to be in some level of control of any vacation, but specifically Disneyland. So that's kind of the lens I am looking at this through. So if you do have small children, some of this stuff might not necessarily apply as much, but this is for a Disney adult who has a husband who loves her very much and goes with her along with her on these trips. He does like rides, and he's a Star Wars guy, so that helps. And he loves churros, so that I basically bribe him with churros the whole time we're there. And yeah, this is how I would go about planning my ideal trip. Now, I am one of those psychos who actually really enjoys planning trips, even if I don't take them. So when I was in chiropractic school, like the last year, I was planning trips to Paris, and then we ended up actually like no intention of going. And then my roommate and I actually did end up going to France for 3 weeks after we graduated. I would say probably at least once a week, I'm looking at hotel prices, flight deals, looking at the Disneyland app to see what the wait times are, looking at the mobile food orders to see what the food is, even though I'm not there. I'm always doing that kind of stuff. And I have even like gone so far as going on Expedia and booking hotels that have the free cancellation policy and then just canceling it like 2 weeks later when I can't convince my husband to go. So yeah, I'm one of those crazy people. But anywho, my ideal Disney trip. So I also really enjoy Southern California, and my husband does as well. So we typically will try to attach a little extra when we're in Anaheim and do either like Laguna or Huntington or something like that. So I'm going to tag that on to the end of this trip as well. So we live in Calgary, Alberta. And we typically will fly WestJet when we're going anywhere. And WestJet has a direct flight twice a week, Thursdays and Saturdays, to and from the Santa Ana Airport or the John Wayne Airport or the Orange County Airport, which is the closest airport to the Disneyland Resort. So typically I will book so we leave on a Thursday and come back on a Saturday. So we have a little bit more than a week actually there without the travel days. And I will typically book us a 4-day park hopper pass. I wouldn't mind a 5. 5 is a lot. 3 is doable. 4 just is a nice number for me. I like it. We get a lot done. We're not in a big rush. It's just an enjoyable amount of time for us. So that's kind of what we've stuck with. And I do like the park hopper just because the parks are literally steps from each other, so you can bounce back and forth depending on what food you want that day, what rides you want to do, what's open, what's closed, and you're not really attached to being in a particular park because park hopping starts at 11 a.m., so you're basically open to go wherever you want when you want to go. So we'll usually fly down on a Thursday, We like to stay within 10 minutes or less of walking distance. So last year we stayed at the Candlewood, which was a little far for us. It was more of like a 15, 20 minute walk. Or we could walk to the Toy Story parking lot and take shuttles. That's doable and it's helpful, but it wasn't quite as good for us. We like more freedom with how easy it is to get to and from the park. So this past year we stayed at the Grand Legacy and really enjoyed that. The next ones on my list to try and do reviews for you guys are the Candy Cane, the Tropicana, the Anaheim Hotel, the Howard Johnson, just to name a few, along Harbor Boulevard there. And of course, go back to the Grand Legacy because that was very enjoyable. So we will fly down on the Thursday. The plane typically lands in California kind of around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which unfortunately is a little awkward. I always try to get early check-in, but it never seems to work out for us. So, and we don't rent a car when we're doing our park days. So we will land at John Wayne. We will take a cab to the hotel and I will see if we can get checked in early. Typically the answer is no, even though I email and always try, but it is what it is. And if the answer is no and we can't get a room, we will leave our bags with bell service and we will walk to the CVS and or the Walgreens that are just down the street at the intersection of Catella and Harbor, and we will buy some things to get us through the next couple of days in the hotel room. So we'll typically buy a couple of drinks, we'll buy some easy snacks to have in the room. We don't go crazy because we don't want to be carrying a lot of bags back, but we just kind of get something, maybe a snack to hold us over depending on what we ate at the airport before we left. And then we'll head back to the hotel, wait to get our room, and then once we're in our room, we just kind of chill out until usually around dinner time. And then our first night that we're in the resort area, we always go and walk and shop downtown Disney, and we have dinner at Trader Sam's, which is a tiki bar that they have in the Disneyland Hotel area. That's kind of become our little tradition. So we like to walk and kind of take a glance through the stores on the way there so I can see what there is, because my favorite thing to do for every trip is to get a new pair of ears and a new spirit jersey or t-shirt. Last time I got both. So I like to get an idea of what there is on the way there. We'll go and have dinner. And then on the way back, we'll purchase my new ears and a new spirit jersey. My husband's not a big wearer of signs or brands, or I don't even know how to call it. He likes the more subtle stuff. So there's never... Like last time we got a Pizza Planet shirt that he really liked, so it's more, but it's always more subtle. So we don't, and he won't wear ears or hat, even though I try to get him to wear ears and hats, but he won't do it. So those are for me, and that's okay. So we'll go back, and then we'll just hang out in the hotel room, and then typically I always start at Disneyland my first day. So I will typically do our reservations to alternate. So I'll do Disneyland start, DCA start, Disneyland start, and depending how I feel, the fourth day will also be a Disneyland start. DCA is not a full day park, so we'll rope drop it usually once and then accomplish what we need to accomplish, and then we'll just kind of like fit it in between other stuff in the other 4 days. So we'll start at Disneyland on our first day, so that's typically the Friday because we flew in on the Thursday, and we rope drop. So I'm usually pretty attached to rope dropping at least 2 of the 4 days to really utilize those rope drop hours. And then the latter 2 days that we have reserved, I'm not as attached to it. It is the nicer time of day temperature wise typically to be there. And we do always take a break during the day anyway. And I also purposely book to have a off day between each park day. So Friday, we'll start at Disneyland. We'll typically rope drop, do one of the rope drop strategies that I'll be sharing in future episodes, and try to get as much done in those first 2 hours. Like I said, my husband likes rides, so we try to get as much of like the mountains and the more thrill rides done. So we'll try to hit Space Mountain, Matterhorn, Big Thunder, Indiana Jones, and then we'll typically try to hit Rise, we will typically purchase the Lightning Lane single pass. We also do purchase Lightning Lane multi-pass when we go, previously Genie Plus, every time we go. So I will be, every time we're in a line during rope drop, I'm looking to see what the return times are for certain rides, because as soon as I start booking those, if I book them early enough for late enough in the day, you can start stacking them because there's a 2-hour rule. So if I book something for 2 o'clock in the afternoon at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 11 o'clock, I can actually book another lightning lane, even though I haven't used that first one yet because there's a 2-hour gap. So I'll start kind of playing around with those things as we're waiting in lines for stuff. And then we'll usually take a break around 9, 10 o'clock, and we will have some sort of breakfast. So we really like going to Jolly Holiday because they have espresso-based drinks. My husband likes cappuccinos, and I'll get something with caramel or something in it that's sweeter. And then we'll get either like a pastry from there. Sometimes we'll go and get beignets from Mint Julep Bar as well for breakfast. We don't really like eat a huge breakfast when we're in the parks. It's more reserved for either a lunch and or a dinner, depending on what I have scheduled. After we eat breakfast, we'll typically see kind of what the lightning lanes are doing and what the wait times are, hit a few more things, kind of more smaller rides like your pirates, rides that are a little bit easier to get through, queue-wise. And then we'll usually eat again. I try to eat off of peak, so I try to avoid lunch between like 11 and 1. If we had a decent enough breakfast, we might even skip lunch and grab like a churro or something, and then we'll head back to the hotel room around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll nap, we'll hang out. We're not like huge pool people, so we'll usually just hang out in the air conditioning in the room for a couple of hours, and like I said, nap, watch TV, do whatever for a few hours, and then around dinner time-ish, we will get ready again and head back to the park. I've done seated reservations both times we've gone. The first time we did Blue Bayou, and the second time we did, I actually did Lamplight both times. But we're not super, super attached to those anymore. They're really nice to do every once in a while, but it's not life-changing to necessarily do those every time you go if you go often. So honestly, the next time we go, if we are going again in March 2025, which I have fingers crossed, I probably won't bother booking any book ahead dining reservations except for Trader Sam's, because I really like that little routine we have on the day we arrive. So yeah, we'll go back in the evening, have some form of dinner, whether that's like a mobile order situation or a sit down, and then we will lap the rides again depending on wait times. We're not opposed to crisscrossing the park. It's not a big park and we can walk pretty at a decent clip if our feet aren't hurting. And then we'll, you know, grab some snacks and we'll watch Fantasmic fireworks if they have them that night. And then we'll typically stay in the park until like 10, 11 o'clock. We haven't closed the park on our recent visits because we actually get a lot done. So we will walk back to the hotel, and then I usually, like I said, book the next day as a rest day. So we sleep in as long as we want, decide where we want to go for a meal when we wake up, and then we do just typically hang around the hotel. We don't do anything crazy. We are, it is a vacation too, so the crazy packed park days are crazy packed park days, and then we have days to like rest and actually just chill out. So we'll do that on the, we're on the Saturday now, and then Sunday will be a DCA day. We'll rope drop that, try to get on to Radiator Springs as soon as we can. If it's not open for some reason, we'll actually beeline it straight back to Pixar Pier and get all of that done for rope drop. And then the pattern basically continues for every day we're in the park. Like I said, this third and fourth day, I don't have to rope drop. We do typically still go in the morning and then come home in the middle of the day and then go back, just because we like having that midday break. And then, like I said, the rest days, we're not doing much. We like bed, and we like just watching TV and just relaxing when we're on vacation. We haven't done Universal Hollywood yet. We might try to get that in this next trip. When we went in March, because it was actually our honeymoon. It was a stand-in for, we were supposed to go to Maui, but we decided to hold that off after the fires happened last year. So we did the 4 days in the park, and then we actually rented a car and stayed in Laguna for 3 days. Highly recommend that. We stayed right across the street from the beach on the Pacific Coast Highway, and it was glorious. It was super restful. Laguna, super chill. There's a lot of really cool little coffee shops and stuff and rooftop patios and all of that. So we really enjoyed that. So I don't know if we'll do that this next time or if we will do that and also attach possibly a Hollywood Studios day to go to Universal, because getting up to LA can be difficult. It is at least an hour and a half drive on a good day. So I think maybe next time what we'll do is we'll do our like week staying across the street from Disneyland with no car, rent a car, go out to Laguna or close to the beach, and then one of those days that we're in Laguna, because we have a car, we'll actually drive up to LA and do Universal, because I've actually never done Universal, and neither has my husband. So I'm not super attached to the idea of doing Universal in California other than seeing the Harry Potter stuff. I don't really have a connection to any of the other things they have there. Seeing Super Mario World would be cool, but I'm not like, it looks so busy and so concrete that there's actually not a huge draw for me to see it. It's really more about seeing Hogsmeade. So that's why I'm not like, I've never really pushed to go to Universal in Hollywood. However, that is very different. And I'm going to go on a huge tangent here, but that's my tip. That's my dream Disney trip. So we've talked about the Disneyland. That's how they look. That's how we've done them the last 2 years. I love how we do them. And that's pretty much probably how we'll always do them. And then if we do have any children, we will just slide them into that, how that functions somehow. So Universal in Florida is a different conversation. I want to go there so bad. Again, though, pretty much strictly for the Harry Potter part of it. So for those of you that don't know, Universal in Hollywood, like the California version of Disneyland, is they're quite small compared to their Florida counterparts. So it's like the people who built the parks in California are so restricted by the space that they have that when they purchased the land that they're building on in Florida, it was just like a whole, like they bought way more land. So as those of you who are familiar with Disney World, it is huge compared to Disneyland, like massive, like its own functioning city. So it's so big. It's huge, which is what intimidates me about it a little bit, but that's a story for another day. But why I want to go to Universal in Orlando so bad is because, so they have the Universal Studios Orlando Park, they have the Isles of Adventure Park, and then they have Epic Universe, which is opening next year. Epic Universe looks epic. The name fits. The portal system and the Celestial Park thing that they're doing looks so freaking cool. Again, though, outside of Celestial Park and the Harry Potter portion of Epic Universe, I'm not super tied to any of it. I think it'll be cool to see, like, the Dark Universe and the How to Train Your Dragon. They're doing a expanded Super Mario World down there, and I'm blanking. I feel like there's another one that I'm forgetting. But again, it comes down to me wanting to see the Harry Potter stuff. So Universal, I believe, Universal Studios Orlando, which is the sister park to the one in California, has Hogsmeade. So Hogsmeade and Hogwarts. And then Isles of Adventure has Diagon Alley. And there's actually a Hogwarts Express you can take between the two if you have a park hopper pass. And that is the only reason I want to go down there. I want to go to Isles of Adventure. I want to walk through Diagon Alley and do like the Gringotts ride and do all that, drink a butterbeer, and then I want to get on the Hogwarts Express and I want to go to Hogwarts. That's all I want to do. I've heard that the ride inside Hogwarts, which I can't remember the name off the top of my head, it's escaping me. It's Harry Potter and the something, 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 Forbidden Journey, I think. It's a lot of screen stuff, and I know people who are similar to me that have tried to do that ride, they'll get super sick after. So I just want to walk through the queue of Hogwarts because it's so detailed and just be like, I don't want to do the ride. Can you let me exit? And I know that they'll let you do that. You're like, I think I'll get sick on this ride. They just let you keep going. And then, so that's that. But Epic Universe, they are building the Ministry, both versions. So they're building the 1920s Paris from Fantastic Beasts, which I adore Paris as a city, so it's probably the closest I can get to going to actual Paris without going to actual Paris, which hopefully we get to do soon. So they're doing 1920s Paris from those movies, and then you can take the Flume Network to, which they call the Metro Flu, which I freaking love that, to the British Ministry, which they're building to scale so it looks like what we see in the movies. And what's happening in that ride is going to be the trial of Dolores Umbridge. So it is taking place in more of the Harry, it's a Harry Potter ride specifically, not a Wizarding World thing. I need to see that. We're going to Tampa this year, and I'm thinking we might squeeze in a Universal day. I don't want to go to Disney World because I that needs to be its own separate trip. In my mind, I can't just go to one park. If I'm going to Disney World, I need to like plan it and do it the way I want to do it, or I'll just be cranky. But I think we can do a day and do Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios. Epic Universe, of course, won't be open yet. But I just want to do the Harry Potter stuff. I will pay the price of admission and a park hopper just to do those two parts of the park. And probably Jurassic World, because that ride looks epic and I feel like my husband would really like it. But yeah, that's my tangent. Sorry. If we do go to Tampa and all that, of course, I'll do a podcast about if we go to Universal. Even though this is a Disneyland podcast, but it's along the same lines. So, that's my ramble. That's my ideal Disney trip with a little sprinkle of Orlando and Universal in there as well. That's it for today's episode of Plan the Magic. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. And as always, keep dreaming. And until next time, I'll see you real soon.